Just does.
It wouldn't be getting worse. It wouldn't be helter-skelter. Right. It wouldn't be making less sense. So if you ask for evidence, if you don't get evidence, if you get more smears, more twists, more turns, more guilting, more shaming, more hiding of evidence, more things that don't add up, pull away and seek your truth. Seek the evidence and the reality and the healing and the aligning with your values and your truth that makes sense to you, and start living that life.
I am.
Because the truth sets you free. What does that really mean?
It does.
When you're true to your values and you align with truth, even if it hurts, even if it's
even
not
if it hurts.
The truth and the reality you wanted,
right.
You're going to start living a true, real, healthy life.
Amen.
If somebody's lying to you and they're exploiting you, you will know, because you become less and less and they become more and more. And this means 100% you're with a narcissist, and depending upon their intentions for you and what they're doing to you, you could be with a sociopath or even a psychopath.
Exactly.
I don't know how many people need to hear this message right
Everybody.
Now. And you can apply this to anything in your life where this fits right now.
That's right.
But I think a lot of people need to hear this lesson.
I do too.
Snap out of it.
Snap out of it.
Stop being charmed.
Yep.
Stop being threatened. And stop being smeared and guilted.
That's right.
Snap out of it and listen to the truth and find it and align with it. It'll save your life. Lots of love. Bye-bye.
Right on.
Get out of bed, wonder how much money can you rake up? And I'm afraid you're still sleeping. Oh, when are you gonna wake up? You can't live life.
they're not going to have any idea what you're talking about, or they won't give credence to it. So there's no point in arguing with strangers because they don't know you and they don't trust you. So that's the first mistake that we make, is trying to convince complete strangers of our perspective, like through a few lines of text online. That's not gonna work. Because you have to build rapport with people. If you have rapport with someone, then you're more likely to understand what their belief system already is, which allows you to approach it in a way that they will understand.
It's always about, yeah, finding that common ground, find it. It doesn't matter. I've noticed that in relationships too, whether it be work-related, friend-related, you know, or, you know, intimate. Like, it's kind of like, if you're not getting along and you're like upset about a certain particular topic that separated that situation, until you can, like, you can't really even approach that person until you can be like, hey, do you believe that we're both standing, you know, in the same geographical location right now on Earth? Like, how cool is that, huh? And then you kind of like, do you?
Yeah, or
did you notice it was sunny out today? Do you like the sun? Oh yeah, so do I. Yeah, cool. And then you kind of like got to almost go back to that basic building blocks.
And those are such like generic things in common, and that might be a good place to start. But even saying things like, where I used to communicate,
we got strategy
with
here.
One of my former partners is actually. When we would understand that we both wanted the same thing. And that's one thing I can say in common, everyone has in common, we all want to be safe, happy, and free.
Right.
Everyone, no matter what their belief system is, political, religious, geographical,
right.
all these
nobody wants to be told what
variable.
To do.
Everyone wants, well.
To a degree. Yeah, yeah. I like being told what to do to a degree.
The difference
too.
Is... the people that want to be told what to do, they're prioritizing safety. Because for them, they feel safer being told what to do. Because they don't believe in their own ability to decide that.
Or they feel safe enough that that person has my best interest in mind enough. Like for me, like if I feel that way, I believe that that person truly has my best interest in mind enough so that they will make a decision that's going to be healthy for me. And therefore, just make it, tell me, you know, I'm cool with that.
Which is why those same people who have that priority are going to have a really hard time believing you if you try to introduce, say, for example, a political belief that counters their feelings of safety surrounding their chosen political party.
Especially if it incorporates fear.
Yeah. So if you try to explain to someone that, like, oh, well, this group that you support, they don't actually have your best interest in mind. Well, that's going to trigger their safety issues. Because if they believe that the people ruling over them or that they root for, right, are keeping them safe, and you tell them, well, they're not, that's going to trigger their safety issues. So they're going to automatically stop listening to you. But that's because you have to understand what motivates that person. If that person believes that they are most free by allowing themselves to be not free, it sounds counterintuitive, but some people believe that, right? So, but if you understand that those basic values are what is motivating them.
Do you realize how many people you're probably affecting right now, and your strategies, your just the way your temperament is, the way you conduct yourself, and the way you're relating to just everything? You have such a deep understanding of the workings of like psychology, obviously, and people in general. This may be a very good platform, though, for you to, you know, have that opportunity to get yourself a good following, because you speak way more clear and defiant, and it's definitely very easy to engage with you. But I don't also get to have these kind of conversations with that many people. But you're definitely
I don't either, because sometimes, again, it's like it's not, you can't necessarily talk to everyone about things like this, even though we've talked about like tons of different topics at this point. But the problem is that, again, because people are motivated by different things and they have different priorities and different levels of understanding, it's hard, because sometimes when you talk about certain things, people's eyes gloss over and they're just, you lose them. And the reason for that is, again, they are motivated by different things, and so their minds will close if you reach a certain point. And it's on different topics for different people.
Right. Wayne Dyer had he said, let your mind be open to everything and attached to nothing. Mm-hmm. And that is something I always try to, and it's funny because I've caught myself at many times being closed off to certain things and going, hey, wait a minute, that's not how you are. You have to, mm-hmm. you know, open up to this particular situation. And it is a mindful thing though. I don't know, but when you've done it enough over the years, like I've been doing this like pretty much ever since I learned how to read, mm-hmm. which wasn't until I was about 23, 24 years old, really. I had a comprehension problem. I didn't even know it.
Yeah.
But when I learned how to read, that's when I started becoming a sponge and I wanted more and more information. And that's when things just really started to change. It is getting late though.
Yes,
and,
it is.
And we should probably mm-hmm. wrap this up, but thank you for this. We'll probably go on and on forever, but.
Yeah, I know. I can talk forever.
One question for you. Where do you see yourself 10 years from now?
I have no clue. I'll probably have my own podcast, which is why I appreciate being on this one, because it's something that I want to start doing soon, and I don't yet have the name of it or anything like that, but
you technically just did it.
I technically just did it, but at some point I'd like to have my own, and I'd like to have you on it.
Yeah,
so hopefully
yeah.
that will happen. I just want to be helping people.
You will help people because you are like, that's what I was trying to say to you, like, because I understand the things you're talking about. I can't necessarily say them the way you say them, and you're so on point, and you stay on track with your stuff much more than I do. But
I think I jump around just as much, but I definitely have some base concepts that I've tracked pretty much everything back to, which is why I focus a lot on everything coming back to safety and security, and the fact that I believe that most social conflicts are rooted in that. So I think that probably I see myself trying to teach people more about those things and utilizing the experience that I have to help people understand those things and to learn more about it too. Because if I'm able to reach people on these topics, then maybe I can have more conversations with people who can enlighten me to more about it too.
The reason I asked you about the 10-year plan is because there's a lot of different things that go through my mind, and somewhere along the way somebody asks, you know, where do you see yourself in 10 years from now or 20 years from now? And I think I did the 20 year, and basically Tony Robbins even talks about it. Picture the end game, picture the end result that you want. So you got to picture what kind of house you're living in, what it looks like, what it smells like in there, how many car garage. You start putting all that together, and then you could back up like 10 years ago. So how did I get there? What was I doing 10 years previously to that?
Yeah.
They got me there. And then you kind of like picture what your life would have been like at that point, and where you're
reverse engineering.
It is. It's a really a kind of an interesting thing. And then you can bring it back 5, and then you can bring it back to the point where you're like, well, in a week from now, I should be there. In a month from now, by the end of this year. And you kind of put yourself in a different stage. And the reason I say that is because a lot of people don't know where they're going to be 5 years from now or 10 years from now. And if you don't know where you're going, you may end up anywhere. And if you don't have a plan, you may end up a part of somebody else's.
Yeah, if you sail a ship, you better at least know what direction you're going.
Exactly.
In. Otherwise, you're going to get somewhere else that you don't want to be.
Right, right. And so, you know, it's like, sometimes it's nice, you know, I let go at some point. I remember my 20-year plan, actually, when it ended. The reason, it was funny, like, that's when a lot of disrupt happened. That's when I was starting to go through my divorce, and then, you know, I sold the house, and my whole life changed. Career-wise, environment, city, everything. But I didn't have a plan either. So for a few years, I kind of like blew in the wind until I developed one. And you figure it out, and then you start making plans. And then they start happening. And that's part of that manifestation process. But when I didn't have one, it was like, I was kind of like, oh.
Well, I think that sometimes we're afraid to make concrete plans because we're afraid of disappointing ourselves.
Disappointment, yeah.
And because it's one thing to be disappointed by others, but it's another to be disappointed by yourself. And I think that, especially, like, that's an ADHD characteristic, too, is feeling, experiencing so much disappointment in yourself. I don't want to call it failure because it's not failure when you
right.
learn about yourself. But to think like, oh, I want to do this new exciting thing. It's shiny and, you know, and new. And then you realize like, oh, that's not a good fit. And so it feels like disappointment, even though sometimes it's needed because
right.
you have to learn about yourself. But I think that when that happens so many times, you end up getting a little bit discouraged. And so you almost start to think like, okay, I'm going to make all these plans and then I'm going to disappoint myself and then feel worse about myself. So, and I think I'm getting to the point finally where like I do understand what I want to do and could put together a plan. There's always that little element of
right.
self-doubt. And you have to overcome that to actually be able to make plans and then stick to them to where you can build that confidence and not feel like, oh, I'm going to start something.
When I was 19 years old, I was selling Kirby vacuums door-to-door. I'm riding around in my
you
car.
You actually sold vacuums door-to-door?
Yes, I did.
That's
for 36 months.
That's like such a classic door-to-door.
I went a trip to Cancun, Mexico at 19 years old. 45 Kirbys in 3 months. And it took me 10 demonstrations before I even got one. I was giving
like,
up.
Who could sell vacuum cleaners?
I gave up. And he's like, the first person, check this out. Mr. Pepper goes, Jasper, I got a lead for you. I'm like, Mr. Pepper, I don't even have gas money to get there. He's like, here's $20 for gas and... He's like, this lady wants it. She was in today and she picked up her other one and she tested that one out. She wants it. Bring it up to her. And so he kind of tricked me. And I get up there and I'm like, yeah, so I guess you wanted to get one of these? And she's, I never said that. And I'm like, that dirtbag, that's what he told me. And I'm like, oh, Mr. Pepper. And so I call him up. I'm like, I thought you said she wanted this. And he's like, Jasper, just go through
just
the motions.
So damn vacuum.
Well, he's like, go do your presentation the way you were taught. So I started doing it. And then I go to take the dirt pad out and you're supposed to show the dirt, right? And I go, where's your husband at? Like, you know, he's in the other room, but he's blind. And I'm like, you're kidding me. And I call Mr. Pepper. I'm like, Mr. Pepper. I'm like, he can't see. He's blind. What the hell do you want me to do now? He can't see how filthy his carpet is. He's like, have Jasper, settle down. Have him feel the dirt. Take it in there and have him put his finger in there.
Sir, touch this dirt.
Yeah, this is what your wife's vacuum. She works very, very hard to keep your house clean for you. And her machine, it used to be a good machine. It used to work, but it's not doing its job anymore. And I believe, I mean, if she's working that hard for you to keep this house nice and clean, doesn't she deserve to have better tools? I mean, crepe, you know, you could get somebody to come and cut the tree down with a chainsaw.
We're full circle back to the sales. And
yes, we are.
Getting the spouse to agree.
Right. So like you can use a butter knife to go cut a tree down in your yard, or you can get a chainsaw. I mean, they'll both work.
You need the right tools
for
the job.
Right. But so if one ain't doing it, exactly. And that's what it was. You need the right tools for the job. And he agreed and he said, she can go ahead and get one. And I'm like, that was my first sale. And I sold 44 more after that in 3 months. And I made the trip to Cancun, Mexico. I was in the Voyager Pro magazine. I was in...
How was Mexico?
Amazing.
Yeah, I've never been there.
Yeah, it was amazing. And you could drink because I was, you know, I was 19 and it was 18 down there.
Uh-huh.
So it was really fun. Okay. Really fun. And it was just like the top few percent of the company that went. And
yeah.
I was so... It was so cool, but... I talk about that because sometimes things can be different than you really realize, and I don't know where we're going with any of that.
Well, but everything leads to the next thing. So,
yeah, it does.
So.
It does.
We'll
so when I was there, I was listening to these cassette tapes, and I think it was Brian Tracy, and this is the biggest thing I was going to say. And I was setting a goal. My goal was at 19, I want to make $100,000 a year in 10 years from now. I had no freaking clue how to do that. None. Like, I don't even know what $100,000 felt like, what it looked like. I don't even know what I'm going to do with my life. I can't sell vacuums forever. Like, this is kind of like a going nowhere kind of fucking business. Like, or, you know, or it's a lot of mental psych, right?
Yeah.
And I just didn't know that I could keep up with it. So, believe it or not, I didn't do it in 10. It took me 11.
Mm,
and in my, yeah. So, by the time I'm 30 years old, you know, and I didn't just make 100. I made like 150. And it was like, whoa. And it's funny though, but that's what I mean by setting these goals. So sometimes, and I kind of forgot about it, but then I reminded myself at some point and it was like, wow, it's kind of like a vision board. Even if you don't necessarily, you don't have to like be so attached to it, like it has to happen or you're going to be upset or disappointed. I'm saying this to the audience out there, like, don't put your hopes that high, but it's still good to visualize something out that far, even what your life's going to look like, because believe it or not, you could just set that intent, let it go, and watch it happen. Yeah, you won't know it in the meanwhile, but once it happens and you cross that milestone, you look back and you're like, wow.
Well, what you have to remember about setting goals, I know we're trying to wrap up, but like, setting goals, it's important that you set goals that are based on things that you can control. Because, for example, you're selling vacuums, right? And you set a dollar amount. All you can control in that situation is what you do, right? How many calls you do a day, how many door-to-door stops you make. Like, that's all you can really control. You can't control whether people say yes or not. You can try to, but you can't control whether right. people have the money to purchase it, whether right. they have the need. So, and for example, like last year, I went to the gym every single day. I didn't set a goal of like, I'm gonna lose these many pounds, or I'm gonna gain this much muscle, or even I'm gonna do these many crunches a day. It wasn't something like that. I said, I'm gonna go every day to this physical place because I have a 24-hour membership and I have a car. And even when there was a hurricane, I still went to the gym. I went when I was not feeling well. I went, like, even when my car wasn't, I couldn't drive my car, I borrowed a car. Like, I was like, I don't care if I have to spend $20 on an Uber to get to the gym. I'm gonna do it, right? And I made sure that my goal was something I had control over. So if I wasn't feeling well, like my stomach hurt or something, I didn't say I'm going to do 100 crunches because maybe I wouldn't feel like doing that day. But in the end, at the end of the year, I accomplished my goal because I set a goal that was based on the habit, not based on the outcome.
The same with my punching bags. I have them right outside my door because I know that I can't go by them without punching them. Mm-hmm. And it's more of a habit thing. Actually, I kind of get like kind of weirded. Like if I'm like at the end of the day, if I hadn't done something like that, like I worked out earlier before this happened, but mm-hmm. I get antsy. Like I need to. Like I just want to like do it because it's like
it's it got become to the point where I'm like I'm.
You don't even feel
if
right.
If I don't do it, I don't feel. I would not feel right, and no one else would ever know. If someone's, did you go to the gym today? Sure, I did. But I would know
yeah.
that I didn't do it. And I was doing it for myself.
Yeah.
And so if you set a goal like that, you have to... So the only way to build confidence, the root of the word confidence is trust. Trust in oneself. That's how you build confidence. It's not like, you know, positive self-talk doesn't actually build confidence.
No.
Doing the things you say yes. you're going to do. Confidence.
It does, and yeah, exactly.
Which is why, in order to build confidence, you can't fabricate it. You have to actually say you're going to do things and do it. And it takes time of actually doing that to be able to be like, I am the person that I want to be because I trust myself.
Right, the follow through on your own yeah. promise of, yeah, exactly. It makes you feel good, and then other people feel good too because they're like, wow, I can, yeah.
Yeah, the Myron Golden, who is, you should listen to him, he's great.
Is he one of the Golden Girls?
He's not I'm a Golden teasing. Girl, Golden guy. but he's like a motivational speaker, sales person, like a biblical teaching.
Something I aspire to be someday.
He's great. He actually lives in Tampa.
No way, really?
Yeah, so, and he's born in Tampa. So,
do you know him?
I don't know him personally, but
we gotta get him on the show.
He is from the local area, but yeah, he says the reason you don't trust yourself is because you know every lie you've ever told.
Right, that makes
sense. And that is why it's so hard for people to build confidence because you know your own inadequacies. You can hide them from the rest of the world, but you know what your weaknesses are, and so you have to actually. It's more about, you know, I recommend building on your strengths and not focusing too much on your weaknesses. But if there is something about yourself that bothers you, if you don't work on building trust in yourself, to know that you can trust yourself, how can you expect anyone else to trust you?
Right. It's a, exactly. And it's, that's, yeah. Yeah. It's all on point. You're so right. Wow. I might have to break this up into like three separate.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good though. I mean, it's very good content. And it kind of keeps people wanting more too. Like if you kind of like break it up a little bit.
Yeah,
no, like,
we have a lot of like topic dangles.
And people,
some of my aunt used to call them dangles when you go off in different conversation when you circle.
And there's a sense of satisfaction of completing something, right? So if they're listening, like getting through that one episode, and it's like if they can get through it between now and the time they get to work or wherever they're driving to, if it's windshield time or whatever's going on, if it's too long, it might be harder to get back to it. But if you leave them like, oh, well, I'll get the rest of that in the next episode. It kind of, they have that feeling of accomplishment. They got through something and there's more to come.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think there's definitely enough content here to make that happen. So
yay.
Yeah, definitely success. Ha, high five. All right, everyone. Well, thank you for joining Where the Sidewalk Ends. I'm your host, Jasper, and you just heard our special guest, Samantha.
The mysterious Samantha with no last name.
Right. Right.
It's Samantha Barron. That's my name.
And that's the town I graduated in.
Barron?
Yeah.
Oh,
I went to Barron High School.
How is it spelled, though?
Same way as yours.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
That's, wow. I agree. And then you went to St. Cloud, you said?
St. Cloud, Minnesota.
Yeah. That's funny. Yeah.
It's the St. Cloud, Florida, too, but it's...
Yeah, it's different, but yeah, right.
It's different. There's less snow.
Less snow, yes.
Well, thank you for having me, too. This was fun. It's motivating me to do my own podcast, which next time I'm on your podcast, I'll have an actual name for mine and maybe have actually posted something. So.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. I think that we just got to get the momentum going. It's like,
yeah,
it's like the same thing going to the gym, right? Like,
I know,
discipline,
I
make it happen.
That's going to have to be the new commitment, is doing something.
Well, and it's fun, right? Like, this
fun.
This is way better than half the things I could think of doing with my time. And there's a question I always ask yourself. If you had to do something for every day for the rest of your life, what would you want to do? And do that. But do that, right? But that's the key to really all of it. Do that thing that you really love to do as often as you can.
Yeah.
And so when I put these together... I really don't care if I never get another subscriber. I really don't. It's not about that so much as it is doing it because I like doing it. Doing it because I know that my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, like anybody, if I ever pass away, they always have access to be with me.
Mm-hmm.
They get a chance to...
Insight into your mind.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a huge thing to be that vulnerable, to expose yourself and say a lot of the things you say I do out there. Because I never think I would ever be able to do that, but it's very therapeutic for me to go back and re-listen to my stuff. I'm like, holy shit, I knew that? I talked about that? I forgot I knew that. Like, I'm like, wow. You know, I'm just dealing with a certain situation. It's like, and I could back up to a year, 3 years ago, and like, I told myself all the things that I should never do, and then I just did them.
Yeah,
you know?
Sometimes you need a reminder.
Yeah, it's the reminders, because there's too much there's so much information that... Anyway. All right, Merry Christmas, everybody.
Happy Hanukkah.
Aloha. Namaste. Oh, that was great. So we've got like 2.5 hours
Jesus.
Of content, probably. That's a lot. But here's the... See, this thing, there's something going on where it just keeps rebooting stuff that I've killed.
Is it recording though?
I don't...
Did it record on your phone?
Well, I'm getting kind of pissed about... I feel like... I think there's somebody fishing or something. Something's going on where things are getting opened up that shouldn't be opened up. Because I force quit... Oh yeah, it is recording right now. But I force quit a lot of these applications. And I don't know... I don't really care, but it's like... It's kind of silly that... You know, like I must have left the back door open somewhere, and I pulled the report came up, and it's like, you got all these IP addresses messing with your shit right now. And I'm like,
that's weird.
Whoa, that's a lot of, yeah.
Yeah.
So, whatever.
Have fun. There ain't nothing to find on there. Just good content.
Have fun. Have fun.